The awkward silence was suddenly broken by another teammate who had just run over from the track. He had heard the end of our discussion, and he quickly chimed in. "Well, Mr. Butterworth, athlete, this must be your lucky day, because it looks like you're going to get another chance."
"What do you mean?"
"Well, the next event over on the track is the 440. Bobby's supposed to run it, and he just pulled a muscle in the 220. The rules state that each member of the team can compete in three events. You're the only guy on the team to compete in just two, so you're going to run a 440. At this point, my teammates were anxiously taking off my shoes and replacing them with running spikes. These shoes are as light as feathers, with the spikes on the front of the sole making you feel as if you needed to stand on your toes. Once I had the spikes on, the oddest feeling crept over me. I felt fast. It made no sense. Here I was, the size of a mid-Atlantic state, and I had the feeling that I was speedy. Something was wrong with this picture. But the whole thing happened so quickly, I didn't have time to think. Before I knew it, my teammates had me over to the track, and I had received my lane assignment. I was in lanes 4, 5, and 6, as I recall. And the next thing I knew, bang, the gun went off, signaling the beginning of the race. As I took off from the starting line, I was suddenly overtaken with panic. I realized that there were a million questions about this race that I had neglected to ask. Most notably, what is the strategy for running a 440? Balance is like any other endeavor in our life. It's not going to happen if we don't get intentional about it. We need a strategy or a plan put in place if it's going to work. I looked over to the sidelines, making eye contact with my teammates. It was one of those magical moments when there is a silent communication among men. No words had to be spoken, for the question was clearly written all over my pained face. In response, a teammate yelled a strategy to me. It was a brief sentence, yet it is one I can still hear today. As a matter of fact, I still wake up at night in the middle of a nightmare hearing these same words, for he yelled, "It's only a lap." I let that sink in for a second. It's only a lap. I have now come to equate that phrase with others like, "It's only terminal." Nonetheless, I had precious little time to mull this over in my mind. I quickly ascertained that the key word in that strategy was the word "only." It's only one lap around the football field. That's all, I reassured myself. With that in mind, I settled on the strategy that would take me through this race. "It must be a sprint," I concluded. So I took off. Most of us have seen this type of race conducted at our high school tracks. The starting point of the race is the part of the track by the 50-yard line on the home side of the field. That will also serve as the finish line so that the winner can break the tape in front of the maximum number of cheering fans. For the first 110 yards down the track towards the goalpost, I ran all out. In doing so, I was just behind the runner who was in the lead at that point. It never dawned on me that he was saving a little energy for the rest of the race. I pushed a little harder, and by the time we were 110 yards into it, I was tied with him for first place. This did a lot for my confidence. I decided that I would set another short-term goal. My first goal had been to run 110 yards and still be standing. This second goal was a greater reach for me: be the sole possessor of first place by the race's halfway point. I gave it everything I had. Frankly, people still comment to me that they have never seen a fat boy move so fast. The tonnage was really hauling. Sure enough, by the time I crossed the 50-yard line on the visitor's side of the field, first place was all mine. I was moving on sheer adrenaline at this point.